So Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, you know, sometimes I would ask my wife, Annalise, to carefully read through my sermon and then, you know, delete all parts that doesn't make sense, or, you know, remove all those things that she would think is superfluous. And since today is such an important day, such an important event, I asked her to do it with this message, okay? So, in conclusion, just a little joke, okay? But if I were to summarize today's message in one sentence, it would be something like this. The Holy Spirit fills us with the power of God and challenges us to share that divine energy with other people. How many of you have electric cars? One of you. All right. So electric cars, believe it or not, are getting more popular, okay? And many major car makers are now building electric vehicles, and the market is just expected to grow. But there's a problem. The charging ports are all over the cars. Most of us who still have gas-powered vehicles, you know, when you go to a gas station and fill up your car, you will pump gas into the tank from the side of the car, right? In the rear, left or right side, but it's in the rear. But where do you put the charger into your electric vehicle? Could be the front or the back or one of the sides. It's very confusing. So in Korea, the car maker Hyundai recently embarked on a project of building public charging stations in the city of Seoul. And their objective was to accommodate as many car brands as possible. And so they consulted with a firm and asked them to design a universal charger, a charger that would easily work with any electric car. And the result was what is called the Hyundai High Charger. It has kind of like a beacon with a halo that glows, and this halo rotates and then drops the charging cable in just the right spot, depending on the make and model of your electric car. Go Google it, it's pretty fascinating. But it's a universal charger. So here we are on Pentecost Sunday. And the book of Acts tells us in verse 5 of our reading that there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven in Jerusalem. Yes, there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Egypt, parts of Libya, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabs. I guess you could say lots and lots of brands, more variety than you can find in today's electric cars. And they were all living in Jerusalem. The first followers of Jesus, though, were just one brand of Jew, namely Galileans. And the Galileans weren't the most highly educated residents of Jerusalem. Most people actually expected their language abilities to be fairly limited. But God was at work on a surprising design among them. And it says in verse 1, the followers of Jesus were all together in one place. The old King James Version says they were with one accord. Now, since we're talking about cars, I just want you to know that it's nothing to do with the Honda Accord, okay? I know that's a bad, real bad joke. I'm just trying to see if you're still paying attention, okay? Excuse that one. But they were together because they had come together to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, which was focused on God's gift of the law to the Israelites. And then suddenly, from heaven, it says, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them. You see, God was determined to fill them with power. So the Holy Spirit came with the rush of a strong wind, like the wind from God that swept over the face of the waters on the first day of creation. The Spirit, it says, danced with tongues of fire, like the burning bush that revealed God to Moses, a bush, it says in Exodus, that was blazing, and yet it was not consumed. And the Galilean disciples began to speak in a number of different languages as the Spirit gave them ability and prompted them. And all of a sudden, they were able to communicate with devout Jews from every nation. So the Holy Spirit was a universal charger. So Rebecca and Lucas and Jessica, this same Spirit is available to you today. God's Spirit is available to all of us today. And it's charging us in the same way that it charged the first followers of Jesus. Those of us who believe in Christ, those who have received him into our lives, the Spirit fills us with energy. And our challenge is to share the energy that God offers us, to share that with other people, that divine energy. It's not a Hyundai high charger, it's a Holy Spirit high charger. But in both cases, their power is put into just the right spot. And so God gives us his Spirit, and it fills us with divine energy. That's what Pentecost is about. So Lucas and Rebecca and Jessica, as you profess your faith this morning on Pentecost Sunday, I want to share three thoughts with you, okay? And of course, to all of you as well. And so here's the first one. We are one and many. First, I want you to know that we are one, but we're also many. And what we see here in the book of Acts is that the Spirit creates this Christian community. That's why Pentecost is sometimes called the birthday of the church. And what I want you to notice is that God's Spirit is poured out on a collection of believers, a gathering, a group of believers. Like we are a gathering or a group of believers here this morning. It's not something that belongs just to you. Or just to you, the Spirit appeared to a group, and it distinguishes us as a people who belong to God. You see, in the United States, we tend to have an individualistic view of most things, including faith. So we talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that. And as a matter of fact, we should have a personal relationship with Jesus. But what we see on Pentecost is that the Spirit of God creates a distinctive and powerful community of faith. We are a community. And today we welcome three more members to this community of faith. And so the challenge for us as this Christian community is to be both one and many simultaneously. We're one in our worship of God, in our faith in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we are many as we express our faith often in different ways. Many in the sense that we're all different. I mean, take a look around you. We're all different. Different backgrounds. Different accents. Different personalities. We all have our own idiosyncrasies. We all have different gifts, but we share the same faith, and we're connected to the one God. One and many. It seems like an impossible contradiction. But remember that the triune God is also both one and many. One God in three persons. In God's own self, we have a single God who is also a community made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And please don't ask me to explain it to you, okay? Because I can't. It's a truth and a mystery that is kind of like beyond our common understanding, but it's something we simply receive and accept and believe based on what we read in Scripture. But we need to remember that the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost to a diverse collection of believers, and this Spirit created something new and something powerful. It created the Christian community that we all still belong to. And so here's the second thought I want to share with you. God is with us. The Spirit shows us that God is in our presence. Just as the fire of the burning bush told Moses that God was present in his life. It says in verse 3, on Pentecost, divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And this fire was impossible to ignore, and it brilliantly showed the power of God that was with them. Now, fire like that is nothing new in the Bible. In Exodus, we read that when God liberated his people from captivity in Egypt, the Lord went in front of them, it says, in a pillar of fire. When the prophets Elijah and Elisha were walking along, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. The prophet Isaiah says, the Lord will come in fire and his chariots like the whirlwind. And in a vision in the book of Revelation, John says that the eyes of Christ will be like a flame of fire, pillar of fire, chariot of fire, flame of fire. These blazing sights are all signs of the presence and the power of God. And so I want you to know today that God is with you, that God is with all of us. Again and again, God comes into the middle of human life and he appears to us. Sometimes these appearances are brilliant, like tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost, and sometimes they're more subtle. Like when someone squeezes your hand to show you they're there for you just before you go in for the operation. Or when someone gives you an encouraging word when your day is really crappy. Or when you mess up in a relationship and someone says, you know what? It's okay. I forgive you. Or when your mom or your dad says, I love you. I love you very much and I'll always love you. Whether God comes in a blazing fire or just in simple words, he's present and he's powerful. And so Jessica and Rebecca and Lucas, as you profess your faith today, remember that the promise of Pentecost is that God is with you and will always be with you. He's with us always. Isn't one of Jesus' names Emmanuel, which means God with us? So God is our universal charger, gives us the healing we need. He gives us the help we need. His Spirit is with us in every time and place and situation. And then one last thought. We are called to share the charge. The Holy Spirit gave the early church the ability to communicate with people of every race and culture. Because of the Spirit, the first followers of Jesus were also able to connect with the diverse Jews of Jerusalem. And the Apostle Peter quickly discovered that the Spirit that was given to him was not a private gift to him. It was given to him so that he could share God's deeds of power with other people. And so he took a bold stand and he announced to the people of Jerusalem, in the last days, it'll be God declares that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Yes, the Spirit was coming to fill not just Peter and the other disciples and followers of Jesus, but a diverse group of young men and old women and sons and daughters and even men and women who were slaves, it said. All of the cultural barriers that had previously existed were breaking down. And now, said Peter, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone, not just us. So you see, the Holy Spirit does not want us to create barriers. It wants us to break down barriers. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to build up walls. It wants us to build bridges. It wants us to share God's energy with others. And so often, you know, we contend to hold worship services for ourselves and to pitch all of our activities and our events to those who are already in the church. But the book of Acts challenges us to be a universal charger. The Holy Spirit challenges us and encourages us to connect with people that are unlike ourselves. And Lucas and Jessica and Rebecca, as members of this church, you are called upon to share God's energy with others, with those who are less fortunate, with those who come from a different part of the world, with those who have a different social or economic background, with those who are hurting and suffering. And so what we celebrate today is that the Holy Spirit is still a creative force in the world. And it continues to form the Christian community. And today is a great day because three of our students are becoming part of this community of faith in a whole new, different way with their confirmation. And so let us remember that we are one, but we are many at the same time. And there needs to be room for those differences and the diversity of who we are. And remember that the flame of God's presence is always with us. The Spirit is working powerfully in our lives because God is with us. And the Spirit pushes us to reach outward to others and share the divine energy of God with other people. That's a high charge, Holy Spirit, one that fills us and others with the power of God. Amen. Let us pray. Most holy God, thank you for sending your Spirit to be with us always, to energize us, to give us power. Help us to share that same energy and power with other people. And thank you that today, three of our students are professing their faith and are becoming part of this community of believers that your Spirit created, the church that was born on the day of Pentecost. Thank you for your word. We pray for the blessing of your word upon us. In the name of Jesus, amen.